यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा वनाचारी जमुना तीरा वनाचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोविंदा गिरिवराधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा वनाचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना बल्लभ गिरिवराधारी गोपी जना बल्लभ गिरिवराधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा वनाचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी ओम ज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादा सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరతిషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియ. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యః కృపాసింధుభ్యః పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 So, we'll read from one verse from Bhagavad Gita and then we'll discuss. This is from the third chapter, text 41. Tasmatvam indriyani yado niyamya bharatarshabha papamanam prijahiyenam jnana vijnana nashanam. So, Lord Krishna is telling to Arjun, therefore, O Arjun, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord advised Arjuna to regulate the senses from the very beginning so that he could curb the greatest sinful enemy, lust, which destroys the urge for self-realization and specific knowledge of the self. Jnana refers to knowledge of self as distinguished from non-self, or in other words, knowledge that the spirit soul is not the body. Vijnana refers to specific knowledge of the spirit soul's constitutional position and his relationship to the Supreme Soul. It is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 9th Chapter, Text 31, Jnanam param guhyam me yad vijnana samanvitam sah rahasyam tad angam cha grahan gaditam maya. The knowledge of the self and supreme self is very confidential and mysterious, but such knowledge and specific realization can be understood if explained with various aspects by the Lord Himself. Bhagavad Gita gives us that general and specific knowledge of the self. The living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord, and therefore they are simply meant to serve the Lord. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. So from the very beginning of life, one has to learn this Krishna consciousness, and thereby one may become fully Krishna conscious and act accordingly. Lust is only the perverted reflection of the love of God, which is natural for every living entity. But if one is educated in Krishna consciousness from the very beginning, that natural love of God cannot deteriorate into lust. When love of God deteriorates into lust, it is very difficult to return to the normal condition. Nonetheless, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God by following the regulative principles of devotional service. So from any stage of life or from the time of understanding its urgency, one can begin regulating the senses in the Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord, and turn the lust into love of Godhead, the highest perfectional stage of human life. So, the drama was really nice. All of you liked it? Hare Bol. So we thank them, all of them, those who have performed by loudly chanting. Hare Bol! Hare Bol! So we'll discuss about that in the later part of the discussion. But this verse is very relevant, what that drama was actually. That how this obsession, it's not just a kind of attraction for the opposite sex. It can be for anything, basically. It is called obsession. Obsession for one's own enjoyment. Obsession for only thinking about oneself. So that is the root cause of for a conditioned soul to suffer in this world. And that is the main challenge which all of us have. And that is why all these scriptures are given. all the Shastras given, great saintly people are there, Lord personally comes, just to make us understand what is our main disease. And after understanding what is that main disease, understanding the result of that, and at the same time, Lord gives the prescription for it. Lord gives the solution to it. So if we read the scriptures, why we read the scriptures? We read the scriptures to learn some lessons. Although we may not be on that platform, either this side or that side. Sometimes we may think that I'm not that bad. Sometimes we may think I'm not that good. But somewhere we are in between. So the whole idea is that where are we? Wherever we are, we shift ourselves towards the good side. You know, push ourselves to the good side. And hearing about all these things, seeing all these things, pushes us. Like in Srimad Bhagavatam, if you read, there is an episode where Indra cut the three head of his own spiritual master, actually. It's such a shocking to hear. Indra had this, his guru, and he had three heads, Vishrup. And he cut his three heads. Why? Even a normal person will not do that, what to speak of, you know, king of the heaven. Because he was so obsessed to get the kingdom of heaven. And when he realized that his spiritual master, Vishrup, is putting some ahutis, some oblations for the demons also, he became so insecure. So basically, when we are too attached to something, we become insecure. And that leads to a very big amount of cruelty. So whatever cruelty we are seeing in this world, that is a connection to the obsession for the wrong things, basically. If a person is obsessed for the wrong things, then that cruelty comes out. And similar thing we see in the Dhruva Maharaj episode also, where Suruchi was so obsessed to have Uttanapad only for him, kingdom only for him. And even Uttanapad, who was the father of Dhruva Maharaj, he was so obsessed for Suruchi that he didn't object when Dhruva, was trying to sit on the lap of his father. This was a very small thing for the Dhruva Maharaj, you know, for even Uttanapad. But for him it's a very big thing because he was insecure that my relation with Suruchi may get disturbed. So again, you know, again and again these things will come, and as the demonic elements increase in the society, demonic tendencies increase in the society, what actually happens is even the the real value system, it is considered like is something off, something which is not right in the line. And which is not right, that is considered right. When Ravana was kidnapping Sita, so Sita was wondering, you know, that how can you touch somebody else's wife, you know, another's wife? It's like a cause of astonishment for her. Because somebody is from a civilized life, civilized situation, civilized family, for him any small wrong thing comes as a shock. You know, like if a child is raised in a very cultured family and he goes to the hostel, and when he see there all the things happening over there, he get a shock of his life. So that's why the seniors, they take pride in ragging. He said, we'll make you normal, you know. We'll make you normal, we'll teach you all the things which you have not learned. And by going through this rigorous process of 1 week or 2 weeks, you will know everything, and everything which is not normal according to you will become normal. And whatever is abnormal for you now, whatever is abnormal, that will become normal. And whatever is normal, that will become abnormal. So this is the situation, and unfortunately. And as Kali Yuga will progress, these things will increase more and more. Because that is the age of Kali, that all the virtuous qualities will go down and all the demonic qualities will come up, actually. So even among demons, you know, sometimes there is a great friendship, you saw, like Sundan Upansan, they were very great, loyal to each other. Only till the time their self-interest came into picture. But even sometimes we see that we can learn something which are not there even now, in today's demons. Like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha fought everything, he got everything and gave everything to Hiranyakashipu. So even that kind of loyalty is not seen in today's time, what demons we used to have. Even demons would not be, you know, having that kind of wrong things which are happening in today's time, because hardly there is anybody to see where you can see some culture. Because if some culture is seen, then even demonic person will have something, you know, influence in his life. So what is happening in today's time, like so many social problems, so many social ills, and people are just hoping and waiting that some leader will come, some law will come, some government will come, and that will change everything. But if we are honest to ourselves, I doubt whether that will happen, you know, that magic someday. It will happen only when we don't follow the double standards. In today's time, people want to follow double standards. At one side, they want to have a very free, easygoing life with no rules, no regulations, no dharma. On other side, they want everything very nice, you know. Everything should be very nice. There should be no corruption, no exploitation of women. There will be no this, no that, no mahangai, you know. But they don't want to simplify their life. So how it will be possible? It will be really definitely if some nice leader is there, he'll bring some change. But even if some very powerful leader is there and his subjects are not right, and that will not function well. So both have to be together. So currently the situation is worst. Subjects are also want to be on another side, and leader also want to exploit them. But at least some 1% changes, some change can be brought, you know. So I'm not trying to completely demoralize you or, you know, become completely discouraged. But the point is that till the time we keep on following the double standards, in the sense ki we say that I'll live the life of without values, without virtues, without dharma, without scriptures, and I want to have the facilities of Ram Rajya. I want to have the facilities of all the wonderful things which come in life. That is not possible. That is not logical also. We're supposed to be scientific in today's time. We're supposed to be modern. And modern people are proud to be logical. So if they are proud to be logical, then logic says that if you want this, then you have to do this. So wherever we find in the scriptures, this is a problem, you know. That wherever the person gets distracted from his right values, problem comes. And this is what the Maya is. Already conditioned soul is very much absorbed in the sense gratification, and Maya allows us to run away of this mirage, you know. Like animal, it keeps running after mirage in the desert. It says that there is some happiness here, there is some happiness there, there is some water here, there is some water there. It doesn't get the water. Like you hang a carrot in front of donkey, dangling carrot concept it is told. It is very much used in the corporate world, that you hang some carrot means some promotion benefit, some, you know, something, and person will work hard to do that. So there is nothing wrong in working hard. Problem comes when we work hard for the wrong things, and it happens when person become too much absorbed in the wrong things. So, and it's like a very entangling, you know, like a monkey. Monkey is very chanchal, very flickering. So once one monkey saw one drum of tar, you know, tar which they put on the road. So he thought, well, let me see what it is, you know. So he started touching it from outside first. So he put one hand into it. What happened? And got stuck. Then he had to remove it, he put another hand. He got stuck. Then he put the, you call it a hand, a leg, whatever. And he got stuck completely, you know, there. So this is what happens. We try to see some sense object in the beginning, and we say, let me see, you know, curiosity. Everybody is happy. Because everybody is at least making the show of happiness. Because that's where, you know, that is story all of you must have heard, the 5 paise ka circus, you know, 25 paise circus. Those who have not heard, like the circus had come to the city, and the rate was very cheap. Only how much price? 25 paisa. Chalo abhi to 25 paisa ka coin bhi nahi milega, 5 rupiah. 5 rupiah circus. So people were coming one by one. Long queue. Very long queue. Because only one person can go at one time inside. So one person went. So he came out completely disheveled. His clothes were torn and this and that. His hair was disheveled completely. And people were asking, kya hua, kya hua? I said, bahut maja hai, bahut maja hai. You see, what is my situation? Because he is not ready to admit that the kind of trouble and torture which I had gone through inside, you know, why? Because everybody will laugh at me. Because when he went inside, there was only one person, and what he was doing? He was beating them. So that's what happens actually. On the path of sense gratification, it looks very cheap. Why it's cheap? Because you do little work, little hard work, and immediately get some maja, some enjoyment. But in the course of that, in the promise of that, person actually completely get beaten up. So very few people are there in the society who will tell you this actually. And those who tell us, they are actually our real well-wisher, you know. If somebody has a friend who has some saintly qualities, that's actually a real friend. And once we realize the difficult situation in this world, the pitiable situation in this world which we have, then we become humble, you know. And that's why humility is the first quality to progress in the path of spirituality. Unless we are humble. Humble means that, you know, like, I don't know everything, you know. I'm in the world of illusion. I'm entangled here. I'm helpless. But the modern civilization, it actually tells us, no, you are everything. We'll make you everything. You know? So that is very unfortunate situation. And that's why we need somebody who can take us out from this illusory situation. Like Srimad Bhagavatam gives this example. When there is a Gurukul. So in the Gurukul, there is a morning bell is rung. And this ringing of the bell, by hearing that, children gets up. Children get up actually. And this is like compared to a powerful acharya coming and he is ringing the bell. You know, when the powerful acharya comes, everybody is sleeping in the illusion, in the ignorance. And that powerful acharya travels everywhere, write books, distribute books, give lectures, appeal to the people so that they can wake up from their slumber of ignorance, slumber of sleep actually. So this is what our situation is, and if somehow we can have somebody like that in our life, we can actually be very fortunate. You know, like another example given in rainy season, there is a pathway in the forest which get covered up, you know, because of so much grass. Those who have gone to the forest or fields, it gets covered up. So similarly, when there is not enough hearing for the right things from the right people, then the right thoughts gets covered up. And that is the situation again today. The main reason why people are getting succumb to the wrong things again and again, because wherever they see, wherever they hear, wherever they watch, all wrong things are propagated. So naturally they think it is okay, you know. And their path is covered up with that wrong grass. So we need somebody like that. And for that, even if that person is little heavy, we should be respectful to him. And this is the role of an acharya, guru, what he does. Like Narad Muni came in the drama, you saw. It's not a drama, actually really a story. Then Narad Muni came and warned Yudhishthira Maharaj. Now somebody will say, "Arey, how can you say like this? Narad Muni is talking this kind of a story to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He didn't know how much love they had among themselves." But the rule of this material world is, no matter how loving you are, how loyal you are, how much value system you have, unless we are careful, things will go down. Like if you see in the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj, he had already taken darshan of the Lord. You know, after he went to the forest, he had a darshan of the Lord. He came back, he was ruling, and his brother was killed. And his brother was killed, he became so mad in taking the revenge, that instead of killing just one or two or three or five people, he started killing yakshas in wholesale. He actually got distracted from his path. And the Swayambhu Manu personally had to come and give him a full lecture of Bhagavad Gita again. Sages came and reminded him to chant the holy name. Now he was fortunate enough to have somebody in his life, but generally people get distracted, no matter who he is. Like this person, he was, and the guru or the acharya, he has to distract us from the sense gratification. Now we will keep getting distracted, and the acharya has to keep distracting us from the sense gratification. Like driving the car, when you're driving a car, constantly there is an endeavor to keep us in the control. We can't say, you know, just, "Theek hai, ek baar chalu ho gaya toh, chalti rahegi." It's very difficult, especially on Indian roads. Maybe in US I heard they have big highways, and where you put the car into automatic mode, and there is a lane also, the fixed speed, and it just goes on. But there also the problem is that, because the driver doesn't have to do anything, he falls asleep, then he makes accident. So every time, whether you make whatever system in this world, you have to be alert. That is the point. So this person was climbing on the tree because he wanted a ripe mango from the very top branch, because it was fully ripened. So he climbed up to the top, the last branch, plucked the mango. Now he wanted to come down. Now chad to gaya, you know, he climbed, but now he's feeling very scared to come down. So he's shouting, crying, weeping. He said, bachao, bachao, and the people started gathering and they were also shouting, come, 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 come. But this one person came, one saintly person came, he started giving him big, big, big bad words actually, abusive words. He got very hurt. He said, eh? I'll see you, I'll see you. And with that revenge feelings, he started coming down. I'll show you, I'll show you. And when he came down, he was still angry, but by that time the people make him realize that because of him only you got saved. Because he actually distracted his attention from that fear. So somehow we have to find somebody who can distract us actually. It's all game of distraction, whether distraction this side or distraction this side. It's all between Maya and Krishna, there's nothing in between. Either we are with Maya or we are with Krishna. You know, like we have this Back to God and magazine, there the slogan is, you know, that Krishna's Suresam Maya and the car. Wherever there is a Krishna is like a light and Maya is like darkness. Taha Krishna taha nahi Maya adhikar. Wherever there is a Krishna, there is no Maya adhikar, you know. So the point is that we have a choice. What we have? Choice. That is the only thing we have. And that choice also become less and less when person perform more and more sinful activities. Because sometimes people ask this question. If somebody is very, you know, born in a very sinful family and he has been, you know, doing sinful activities from the childhood, then what is the choice he has? So definitely he has some choice, but less choice. And why he or she has a less choice? Because from his previous lives, by doing certain kind of karma, he is born in that family where he wanted to perform those sinful activities. That's why that person is given birth in that family. If somebody is doing all the virtuous and pious activities, that according to Bhagavad Gita it is very clear, he is given the birth in family who is very pious, who is very rich, where he can perform wonderful activities if he wants to. So choice is always there, but that choice will, the domain of the choice will reduce, you know. The range of choice will reduce if we don't exercise the choice in the right way. If somebody performs sinful activity, he will be put in the jail, no matter who he is. So Prabhupada talks about this story about choice. He talks about a very famous barrister in Calcutta, Farolal Banerjee. He says he had two sons, and one son became very great barrister, advocate, lawyer, and another son became taxiwala. Why? Both had the same facilities. Both were born with the same father, both are born in the same family, same facilities. Because the younger son, who became the taxiwala, he actually didn't utilize his free will in the right way. He fell in love with a very low class woman. And he started living with her in a small hut. And he started just doing the work of taxiwala. So this is what very clear in the scriptures. But the problem is that if somebody doesn't want to come to the light, that what can be done? The scriptures give the example of owl. Owl is a animal or bird. It doesn't like to remain in the sunlight. What is the special quality of owl? It doesn't like to remain in the sunlight. So there are some people like that, you know, or they have become like that by always remaining in the dark. That if we try to bring them into the light, they get disturbed. They get very disturbed. They start shouting, howling, criticizing, and this is what happens when you start preaching this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Many times you will come across with some people like that. You tell little bit about some spiritual things and they will start getting agitated and disturbed. So we have to be careful, you know, whom to approach, whom not to be approached. And what is happening because of all these things which I am discussing, as we saw in the drama also, that people are finding great dissatisfaction in every walk of their life, although they may not admit it. There is a relationship problem everywhere. There is a relationship problem between father and children, of parents and children. There's a relationship problem between husband and wife. There's a relationship problem between brother and brother. There's a relationship problem between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. There's a relationship problem in boss and servant, in the office. Practically everywhere. And actually, if we carefully analyze, it's all same, basically. Because of what Narad Muni warned Yudhishthira Maharaj, that was very right warning, and Yudhishthira Maharaj took it very positively. And what they did, I'll just tell you in few minutes. But before that, try to understand, all these problems are happening because of few things which come to my mind. It's like lack of etiquette, lack of spirit of duty, too much greed, obsession, for wrong things, and only me consciousness. Yeah? So there is an increase in the tendency of exploitation rather than service. Like scriptures very clearly say that what should be the relation between the renounced order and the opposite sex. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Matra Sosra Duhitrava Na Viviksano Bhavet Balwan Indriya Gramo Vidvamsam Apikarshati. Now people are getting confused, why happening like this, why is happening like that. But the Shastras are very clearly saying that a person in seclusion, he said, Matra Swasra Duhitrava. In alone, in seclusion, one should not sit even with his own mother or sister or daughter, because senses are so powerful. Balwan Indriya Gramo. These Indriyas are so powerful. And Vidvamsam Apikarshati. Even great scholar, great Vidwan will get bewildered by the power of these senses. So anywhere we do some mistake, the reaction will come. No matter who he is, actually. So it's very clearly warned. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so careful, he would not allow opposite sex to come near him. Because that is a norm, that is a careful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would not meet alone. He would meet, but there should be somebody. So there are some small precautions which are already given in the scriptures, and when we don't follow them, that what will happen? Reaction will come, problem will come, people's faith will be destroyed, and we will see why it's happening like this, why people are behaving like this. So you will be double protection. First you will be protected if somebody is having some plot against us, that also will be protected, that is the point. So it's very clear. So relation is there, and even if you see the relation between a boy and girl in today's time, it's very unfortunate that it's only based on enjoying each other's body. And it is considered okay nowadays. Because the norm has become kind of key, it doesn't matter, like we can enjoy for some time and then we can just part and we can just have relation for some time. So, but it leads to severe problem actually. And one of the problem is that kind of emotional trauma person has to go through, and the lack of trust and loyalty, this is the main thing which person faces. Like person has already had a lot of relations before marriage, and after that he married to somebody, either party will have difficulty in keeping the trust, and sometimes lot of bitterness is also there because you had already a lot of bitter experiences with the opposite sex. So you always hear mind that maybe all women are like that, all men are like that, but it's not like that. Nobody is bad. Women are good, men are good, It's all depend on how we relate to each other. So the verse which we read today is actually the point which we are trying to discuss, that although this problem is big, Krishna himself is accepting it, Krishna is saying that kamesha, krodesha, rajoguna, samudbhava, it is all pervading, It is saying it is there in the mind, it is there in the senses, it is there in the intelligence, it is there in the body, everywhere. Like enemy is sitting everywhere, Like you are staying in some big building and your servants in the house, your security guard in the house, your manager of the building, everybody is bribed by the enemy. So what is the chance of escaping us? There is no chance. So it's such a powerful enemy which we have to face. It says, Avartam jnanametena jnanino nityavarina. This enemy has covered jnanam, whatever little knowledge we had, And nityavarina, it is the eternal enemy. So what is the solution Krishna is giving? Krishna is saying that regulate it. Regulate the senses. We cannot suddenly give it up. We cannot suddenly become renounced. We cannot suddenly become, overnight a completely pure person. And Prabhupada actually recommends in the purport that from the very beginning of life, from the very childhood, if it is done, that is best. But even if it is late, Krishna consciousness process is very powerful, and by which what we can do, we can still come out of it. But if we are living in a surroundings where people have no shame in the relationship, it's become very difficult. The kind of things we are hearing, you know, which cannot be mentioned also here, relation with anybody and everybody and exchanging the relationships and partners, it becomes very difficult actually. So, and what happens because of that, as I already told you, lack of respect. Lack of respect. And every relationship actually gets spoiled when there is a break in the respect actually. When there is a respect goes down, relationship goes down. Here also Supupasunda, they had great bonding, great respect for each other. But when he said, you know, some bad words to him, immediately he got angry, you know, like that. So that's what the point is, that parents are encouraging their children to call them by their names. Teachers are encouraging in the school scholars by their names. You know, even the partners are calling each other names. And the guru is also, and the boss also in the company, call me by names. Because we want to have an easy, free, you know, comfortable life. There is no bondage, there is no obstacle in between. Now, it may look very nice actually, but the result of that is very bad. Because it leads to nobody having in your life for whom you have respect, nobody in your life whom you adore, nobody in your life you value his words. He said, "Well, nahin, aap aisa kaise bol sakte ho? Somebody may challenge us." He said, "We are just calling my name, but still we respect him." That may be true, but the chances are very less actually. That's what the result shows. When we don't call somebody with respect, respectful behavior, respectful name, respectful position, you know, like Prabhupada was there and many devotees would offer respect to him. So one devotee asked him, "Prabhupada, I don't feel like paying obeisances." Prabhupada said, "Whether you feel like or don't feel like, pay obeisances." Yeah. Because by doing that, you will at least have some awe and reverence. But if you don't have no awe and reverence, and then you just pat the spiritual master back, "Oh, Prabhupada, how are you?" And so it will lead to problems actually. So that's what is happening in today's time, you know. Like students are sitting with the teachers are having liquor together. It's a very common thing. Don't feel shocked of it. I have seen it. I have heard it. You know, I've seen in my college days, that was like 15-20 years back, and now though it's very common, you know, teacher inviting the student, "Come, we'll go for a drink." So then how society will function? That's why I told you, we cannot have double standards. It's become very difficult. At the same time, we are not saying, you know, be always like this, behave like that. What we are saying, have some relation where that kind of respect is required, have another relation where another kind of respect is required. There is a different level of relationships. And that is what the mature society is, where you give respect according to the position of the person. We don't go to the zoo and start hugging the tiger, you know. You know, he has to be respected from a distance. At the same time, he has to be respected. Like Prabhupada was there in the Bhuvaneshwar in 1977, and they went to one zoo. And there one tiger was there and one lion actually. And a devotee with a stick was harassing him because it was in the cage, na? So you can do anything. So Prabhupada said, "Hey, what are you doing? Be respectful. After all, he's a lion. He's the king of the forest." So what to speak of respecting a human being, and in human being so many other positions are there. You know, 84 lakh species of lives are there, and among them, human beings are topmost. So that way, every human being has to be respected. But material respect sometime, you know, it's just a show. But even if it is show, it's better to do it for the society. But eventually we have to come to the respect where we start respecting for the genuine thing for the person. Because what is material respect? Material respect is this story which is given. It is called, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is a story of a scorpion. And this scorpion wanted to cross the river. And one camel came. So he said, "Camel ji, aapki kandhe pe bathalo. Please make me sit on your back and help me to cross this river." He said, "Main pagal ho gaya hoon kya? You know, am I mad or something that I put you on my back?" Because what is the nature of a scorpion? It will sting. He said, no, I'm an ethical scorpion, you know. If somebody helps me, I don't bite that person." So that person was a little simple, you know, camel. He said, okay, come, sit. And when they were in the middle of the river, what happened? A scorpion stung him. And then camel asked, why did you do that? Now we both will drown here, you know. He said, what can I do? This is my nature, you know, I cannot change it. So this is not the kind of respect we are talking about here. It's just for some, you know, thing we do it. But what we are talking about is that respectful is a to every person according to his position, because that is my duty. That is my actually first duty, to respectful to everybody. And another thing which Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about, that as a Vaishnava, if we are not respectful, what will happen? By disrespecting people of different positions, thinking that I am a Vaishnava, you know, all these are, you know, sinful sense gratifiers, the pride will come. And that pride will lead to decrease of humility. And when the humility will decrease, the heart would no longer be suitable for what? Dwelling the devotion in the heart. So if we have to become devotees of Krishna, which is like a very topmost thing, which is like the topmost thing, the devotion for Krishna, which we talk all the time. But if we are not developing the soft heart with humble humility, then the devotion will not come in the heart. And the devotion will come only when we learn to respect each and every individual according to their position. According to scriptures, Prabhupada talks about it and Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it, that anybody who has some position, some influence in the society, he needs to be respected. He needs to be respected. He talks about dhan maryada. If somebody has a lot of wealth, he has acquired that wealth because of doing a lot of piety in this life or past life, he needs to be respected. He talks about raj maryada. If somebody is a king, governor, position, you know, some big minister, he needs to be respected. Prabhupada talks about Sanatan Goswami when he had taken the leave, sick leave. Sick leave he had taken because Nawab Hussain Shah, his boss, wanted to conquer Jagannath Puri. So he thought, I don't want to participate in this. So he took the sick leave and he was just doing all the kind of bhajan whole day with all the sadhus. And when the Nawab came to know about it, he came personally to meet Sanatan Goswami to see what he's doing. And when Nawab came, what did Sanatan Goswami do? All of them immediately stood up, got up, and respectfully greeted Nawab. Although he was a Yavana, Malecha, meat eater, killing so many people, such a sinful person, but because he had the position. Then Vidya Maryada. Vidya Maryada is somebody is very knowledgeable, scholarly. If some big professor from some big university comes, we need to respect him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met Sarvam Bhattacharya, and Sarvam Bhattacharya was trying to teach him Vedanta Sutra, based on Shankaracharya Sharirika Bhashya, which was very odd for a Vaishnava to hear. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being God, he could hear it, we are not supposed to hear, but at least he respected him. And he didn't fight with him, he didn't quarrel with him, he didn't point, you know, ki, what you are talking about this. He just quoted Shastras to establish Siddhanta. And by quoting Siddhanta, automatically got defeated. It's not that he verbally had a fight with him. That is the point. So instead of pointing the person, he just pointed the Siddhanta. Not disrespecting. Without disrespecting Sarvam Bhattacharya, he defeated him. Similarly, that person who came, Keshav Kashmiri? Yeah. Keshav Kashmiri, and he was having debate with Lord Chaitanya. At one point, Keshav Kashmiri completely got checkmate. And that time, Lord Chaitanya discontinued the discussion. He said, okay, we'll discuss tomorrow. So that he doesn't feel completely broken down. Because if he would have felt completely broken down in front of everybody, he would have committed suicide. So he defeated him without killing him. With respect. So that is a Vaishnava. And then Sadguna Maryada after that. If somebody has a Vidya also, but he doesn't have the good qualities, then if somebody has a good quality and has less Vidya, we should respect more somebody who has good qualities. And then more than that, if somebody has a varna also, like somebody is a brahmana, like Ashwatthama was a brahman, he became a brahma bandhu because he was not having any good qualities of brahmana. But still Draupadi respected him, although he had killed all the 5 sons of Draupadi. So scriptures are talking again and again this quality, and many times because of our immaturity, because of our little bit of, you know, knowledge of scriptures and thinking that we are great, Our philosophy is great, our acharyas are great, our God is great, but we are not great. That is the point we have to remember. And then even if we are great, great people always, you know, like a tree, they bow down when the tree comes down, you know, because they want to maintain their humility. Because the moment humility goes, devotion will not creep in. And then ashram maryada. Among all the ashrams, sannyas ashram is topmost. So even if somebody is a mayavadi sannyasi, somebody is from another sampradaya, we need to respect him. Like once Prabhupada was walking and there were some sannyasis came and his disciples didn't pay obeisances to him. And Prabhupada got really angry with them. He said, you cannot do that. If somebody is sannyasi, you need to respect him. And then the topmost is actually bhakta maryada. That even if somebody is less in age, somebody is different varna, somebody is not educated, somebody has no position, but he has devotion. Like Markandeya Rishi, he was living for 7 kalpas. 1 kalpa is like 1 day of Brahma. And it's like huge. You know, to describe it will take some time. Like 1 day of Brahma is 1,000 Divya Yugas and 1 Divya Yuga is, you know, 43 lakh. 43 lakh into 1,000 is like 12 hours of Brahma. And that too fit 2 times night also. Like 43 lakh into 1,000 into 14. You can calculate like that. And then Parashar was there, one small boy, 7-year-old. And when he came, Markandeya Muni started offering obeisances to Parashar. And he got very, you know, taken back. He said, how can you offer me obeisances? I am a 7-year-old boy. He said, calculation of the age should be done, how much time someone has spent remembering Krishna. How much time somebody has remembering Krishna, that is actually his age. Other age is all useless, you know. It's all not much use. Like this Yaksha and Yudhishthir Maharaj, they had samvad. Like, if we get time, we'll discuss that. But one of the questions which Yaksha had asked Yudhishthir Maharaj, that who is that person who is while breathing also not living? Who is that person who is while breathing also not living? So you may give answer the, you know, maybe bellows of the blacksmith, because they are breathing but they are not living. But actually this Maharaj answered, anybody who doesn't worship, who doesn't nourish demigods, guests, family men, ancestors and soul, who doesn't work for these 5 people, he is actually while living also he is dead. Which are the 5 people? Demigod, devatas and guest, Bharaniya Kutumbijan, the dependents, you know, the family members which are dependent on you, Pitra, the ancestors which you do the pindan and all that, and Atma ultimately. The person who doesn't work for these 5 things, he is while living also, he is dead. He is having breathing but he has no life actually. So that is what the thing is. And then, so that's the point which I am saying. And that's what exactly Yudhishthira Maharaj did after hearing from Narad Muni, that warning. So they made a rule, Narad Muni told them, you make some kind of system where there will be no problem. Don't take things for granted. Okay, we have a good relation, we have good love, we have good friendship. Make things crystal clear. You know, when there is a system in this material world, when there is a respect for individual person need, then we'll no fight. So exactly what Yudhishthira Maharaj did, they had a meeting and they decided each one of us will live with Draupadi for 1 year. And when somebody is sitting with Draupadi, another person comes, another brother comes, by mistake also. Then as a punishment or as a prayaschit, he has to go back to the forest for 12 years while living celibacy life. Such heavy rule they made. Because without rule, without regulation, without system, things are naturally going to go down. Somewhere some problem will come. So it's not easy, you know. It's not that Draupadi and Pandava's life was easy. It was a tough life because they were living in this material world and 5 people and 5 men, 1 woman. Just think about it, how difficult it must be for Draupadi to satisfy also all of them. That also we'll try to discuss, that what great qualities Draupadi was having. That first of all they made that rule, and that rule was not just for the sake of making the rule. They followed it actually. Once actually one Brahman came running and he started shouting that all the cows are taken by some rogues and please save my cows. And Arjuna was there, but Arjuna's weapons were kept inside the room where Yudhishthira was sitting with Draupadi. Now, Arjuna is dharma sankat now. On one side he has to save Brahman. On the side, if he goes now inside, then what will happen? He breaks the rule and he has to go to the forest for 12 years. So he says, okay, because let me go to forest for 12 years. But now, right now, the main dharma is to save this Brahman. Because if I don't follow that dharma now, I will fall down from my position. So immediately went inside, took his weapons, took the permission from Yudhishthira, took the weapons, came out, saved the cows, come back, came back. And after coming, he told Yudhishthira Maharaj, I am going to the forest. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no, it was emergency and you know, it was not a kind of thing which you have to follow. And younger brother is like, you know, you are my younger brother, you can come anytime, you are like a child for me. So no. Rule is rule. If I don't follow rule, then others will not follow rule. My praja will not follow rule. My citizens will not follow rule. And he went to the forest for... This is besides his... after the gambling match. It's not that the same time. So this is the system they had. And with that system, what was happening, they had a respect for individual, everyone. Because when we have a respect for the right person, for the right situation, then, you know, there's a less chance to... fight and you know, because respect allows the person to get his needs basically. When there is no respect, and then it becomes difficult. So you know, like we have to realize that all the people, like Bhakti Tirtha Swami says, very beautiful, one of the point he says of community living, and one of the four point was there, but one is very relevant in this case. He says, realize that the people in your present environment, what we have to realize, the people with whom we are living in the present environment might very well be the people with whom you will live throughout your life. You know? First we have to accept that the people with whom we are living, we may have to live with them throughout our life. So when we have this kind of understanding, we'll be respectful to them. And then second point is said, who will be with you at the time of death? And the same people will also be there at the time of death with you. So then, automatically we'll be respectful, you know, we'll be taking care of them and they will be taking care of our needs. So this is what the relationship is. So sakam and nishkam, these are the two concepts which are talked in Bhagavad Gita in the beginning few chapters. So what happens when there is only sakam relation? Relation is only based on one's own consideration. Then that relation doesn't last long. Like worship of demigods, that relation is based on sakam. Sakam means I'll worship these demigods and I'll get something and I'll enjoy and then I'll forget this worship. So that's why even that relation of worshipper and worshipped is only for some time. Because actually there is no relation. Why there is no relation? Because we have made that person the object of our sense gratification. So this relation has become objectified. What has become? Objectified. It's just that this object is giving me some kind of pleasure. So till the time this object is giving me some pleasure, there is a relation. And when there is no pleasure, there is no relation. So relationship is actually objectified. There is no relation with the person. Relation with the person happens when we take care of that person's actual needs, concern about him, then it happens. You know, like this Sunda and Upasunda, they try to develop relation with Brahmaji. You know, by doing tapasya, worship, austerities. We can't even think of doing those kind of austerities, what they were doing. But they objectified Brahma. That we will get something from him and then finish him only. We'll kill him only. You know, like even this Bhasmasur, he wanted to get boon from the Shiva and wanted to kill him only. So this is what happens in this relation. You know, relationship is with someone, it becomes objectified. Just we want to make him object. But what's the actual relationship come into picture when there is a nishkama? Nishkama means where we start thinking about another person's. And that is the reason in today's time people are frustrated, because the more people have free life, so-called free life, the more they get frustrated. Because the more try to objectify everybody and they try to suck some pleasure from that person, and there is no love and trust and concern for each other. Or if it is there, it is very less. So that leads to frustration basically. One frustration comes by losing some material objects. But greater frustration comes when we lose a relationship actually. When somebody whom we were trusting and he has not, you know, reciprocated well, But we have to carefully see that have we really invested so much in that person? And if we have invested, was that investment was just to get something in back, or was that based on duty? Because if their investment is based on duty, then there is no expectation to get something back, and there will be less frustration. And this relationship is there everywhere, whether it is a guru and disciple, husband and wife, brother and brother, everywhere. Like Bhagavatam says, Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasan Danto Guru Ritam. That when a brahmachari lives in the guru's ashram, he lives danto, he lives by controlling his senses, he lives for the hit of guru, for the benefit of his guru, serving him. And the relationship is a relation of love, friendship, affectionate relationship. So it's not all the time disciple is just scared, you know, and he's just not having any kind of fun or loving dealings. But at the same time, there is a time when he open up his heart, there is a time, you know, what he's very respectful, and he has a different relation with different people in the ashram. And when he does that, he makes advancement actually. And I was hearing one lecture of this sannyasi, a great sannyasi in ISKCON, Bhaktivedya Purna Swami Maharaj. He was saying, when a brahmachari is serving in guru's ashram, and he is doing various services in the ashram, and when a lady is serving in the house, taking care of all the details of the house, taking care of the husband, children, everything, in-laws, she gets the same benefit, exactly the same, which a brahmachari is getting by serving guru in the guru's ashram. This is a very important concept we have to understand, because that will help us to develop respect for each and individual in the society, and respect for oneself also. Because self-respect is also a very important thing. In today's time, why people are not taking pride in doing things like preaching Bhagavad Gita, you know, becoming sadhu, taking care of children, only housewife. Why? Because they are not respected for that. When enough respect was not given for somebody's contribution, then what happens? He loses interest in that. It is a human need, basic human need actually. So when we know that a brahmachari who is serving in the guru's ashram gets the same advancement when a lady is serving in the home, doing his duties, household activities, you know, she will be so enthusiastic actually when she encouraged for that. And when she is recognized that how important the role of a woman. Like first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what is the main problem in the social ill, among the social ills which Arjuna pointed out? The main social ill he foresaw that the woman may get polluted, woman may get destroyed, woman may get disturbed. Because that is the root cause of the society's downfall. If women are not given the respect in the society, then whole society will fall down. Like sometime, you know, the outside people have wrong idea about the Vedic culture. Or the people, those who don't know about the Vedic culture, those who don't know about Hindu religion, they think, you know, here women are not respected. But then Prabhupada said, how can you say that Hindu religion or Krishna Bhagavan or, you know, in Vedic culture there is no respect for the woman, you know. God's main cabinet, you know, three main department, finance, defense, and third one, education. All three with the woman, you know. Education is Saraswati Devi, Lakshmi Devi is with finance, and defense is with Durga Devi. Now what does remains? Without these three, you cannot do anything. So they just misinterpret, misrepresent the thing. You know, so much respect was given. They were traveling in the palanquin. All these, you know, these things are made. Actually, they were made in all the big assemblies where they can be sit on the top and see. You know, so that others cannot see them, but they can see others. So this is not respect. There's so much respect actually. But unfortunately, it is presented in a wrong way so that we can exploit them. And they don't take pride in what they are supposed to do. So Draupadi, being a woman for the five husbands, she would take pride in doing all the things. And even wives of Krishna would take counsel from her. You know, once Satyabhama approached Draupadi and she told, Draupadi ji, please tell us some secrets. You know, you have five husbands and you are keeping them so happy. and tell us some mantra, tantra, some tapa, some medicine, some jadi booty, by which you are controlling them in control, and they are always looking at you all the time. They don't look anywhere else, they are always looking at you only. So she said, don't talk like an unchaste woman. Chaste women don't talk like a mantra, tantra, jadi booty, vidya. Because if husband comes to know that my wife is trying to put some tantra mantra to control me, then actually he will get agitated and he will be like a scared. He will be very scared in the house, like a snake is living in the house, you know. He is living with a snake. So I don't do any tantra mantra, but I will tell you what is my secret, you know. And then Draupadi start talking about, and she said that if you try to do this tantra mantra and all that, many times many women have lost their husband. You know, they become mad or they died or they got disease, you know. But don't get into all these things. The greatest secret is that I believe that I serve all of them with full care and attention without having lust and anger. And controlling my desires in mind and senses. That is my actually secret. I don't allow pride and ego to come near me. And what he said? She said, I am very careful not speaking any bad thing from my mouth. Because that's where the problem starts. Now, when you speak something bad, then another person, another person, another person, it just goes on and on. So I am very careful. So that's why I gave the comparison of brahmachari serving in the guru's ashram and any other relation also. It may not be just husband and wife, it can be brother, brother, anywhere. So there also a brahmachari has to be careful, and a wife or husband also has to be careful. And I wait them to eat and sleep. I welcome when they come, and I keep all the house clean, I cook nice food, feed them on time. So she's taking pride in her activities actually. She's so happy in doing that. She's not feeling, hold, I'm doing, you know, hard work and nothing, nobody's. So she's happy about it actually. And she said, I don't allow laziness to come near me, because that is a secret. Laziness, whichever duties we are doing, like Narad Muni, when he is talking about his life, his childhood, that when he got the mercy of Bhakti Vedantas, he said, I was 5-year-old boy. Why he got the mercy of my spiritual master? I was 5-year-old boy, but I was not attracted to the sports. I had foot control on my senses, and I was serving, you know. So when we have control over senses, then only we can serve the instruction of spiritual master or serve our duties basically. So she was able to do her duties because she didn't allow the laziness to come near her. And then she said, I don't allow the dissatisfaction also in my mind. Because sometimes what happens for any small thing, dissatisfaction comes. And dissatisfaction leads to many problems. And dissatisfaction many times comes when we are not focusing on our own work. And then in regard to the ritual at home, she said, I have learned everything very nicely from my mother-in-law. All the rituals, all the shraddhas, all the worship, everything I do. And I believe that for a woman, taking shelter of husband is the real dharma. And regard to my mother-in-law, I take care of all her needs, and she is like Mother Earth. Mother Earth is very forgiving. So basically again, you know, both the parties have to strike the balance. You know, like if somebody does the mistake and if we are not forgiving, then relationship will break. So she glorified her mother-in-law also, that how Kunti Devi is always forgiving, because some mistake may happen with anybody, no matter who or she is. So she was always forgiving. And then she said, this is like in the forest time she's talking to Satya Bhama, you know. She said, when we had our that palace, 8,000 brahmanas every day would eat on golden plates. And besides that 8,000 brahmanas, there were 88,000 grahasthas. They would also eat, because they were graduates, they were the snatakas. They were also maintained by my husband, Yudhishthir Maharaj. And each snataka was served by 30 maid servants. And besides that, there were 10,000 sannyasis who were fed by the me only, you know, me means all the entourage. And they also would eat in the golden plates. And Maharashtra Yudhishthir has 1 lakh maid servants. And they would wear all the golden bracelets and necklace and bangles and everything. And I would maintain everything. I would take care of everything, you know, look after everything. That all the 1 lakh maid servants, what they are doing, what they eat, what they not eat, you know, what did they do, what they did not do. You know, all the servant management, all the food management, all the serving management, prasadam serving, everything. She is looking after. Eh? And she said, besides that, there were when Yudhishthira Maharaj would go anywhere, there would be 1 lakh horses and 1 lakh elephants would go with him. And I would even look after that also. And all the accounts, you know, what Pandavas would earn, they would give everything to me. And I would maintain the expenditures and savings, you know. And practically they had put all the load on me and they were busy managing the kingdom and doing their sadhana. So he said, this is my secret. I get up the first and I sleep last. This is my secret. So after hearing this, Satyabhama had nothing to speak, you know. He said, and then Draupadi said, Sukham sukhenehana jatu labhyam, dukhena sadhi labhte sukhani. The law of this material world is that by happiness you will never get happiness. By happiness, sukham sukheneha najatu labhyam. If we look for only happy life, so-called happy life, we will not get happiness. Dukhena sadvi labhte sukhani. A dutiful person, a chaste person, while undergoing all difficulties in all situations, actually enjoy happiness. So it was not easy for her to maintain whole day, everything, managing everything. Although she had lakhs of dasis and lakhs of servants, but you know, sometimes, like Radhana Swami Maharaj says, adi dasik misery. You know, even to maintain one servant becomes so difficult. But she had so many servants to maintain and to engage them. But she was doing it happily because she considered that this is my duty. So this is called generosity in relationship. This is called selflessness. At the same time, there is another aspect to the relationship that is called self-care. If somebody is working very hard, extending himself all the time, giving himself to another person, serving, selflessness, and his needs are not taken care of, then what will happen? He will burn up. So that's why the another person also has to be very conscious. Pandavas were very conscious. What are the needs for Draupadi? You know, Pandavas are very conscious. Like Bhima was so conscious, like when Draupadi approached him with that 1,000-petaled lotus, he said, I want many of them also. So Bhima was immediately started walking to the high ups and with big fight he brought, you know. It's not he just got like that. There was a big fight with the yakshas and everything. And he got many of them. When they were living in the Agyatvas, Virat Nagar. So there, Kichaka was the brother of this queen, Sudeshana. She was putting bad eye on Draupadi. And Sudeshana was also helping Kichak. She was sending Draupadi to his palace. Go get me this, go get me that. And Draupadi was saying, please don't send me there because that person is really keeping bad eye on me. And I have 5 Gandharva husbands, you know, because they were hidden that time. And they will kill him. She said, no, you go. She told him also, you please don't play with me. I have 5 Gandharva husbands. They always keep eye on me. She said, no, you become my queen. I'll give you everything. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. And he forcefully tried to rape her actually one day. She came running to the sabha where the king was sitting. And Kichak kicked her with the leg. And king didn't do anything. She was crying and weeping. And Bhima was there. Yudhishthira was that time that, you know, chess player kind of thing. And Bhima was cook that time. And Arjun was Brahmana dancing and teaching dance to everybody. Sahadeva was taking care of cows, Nakul was taking care of the horses. Such a painful situation. And she was weeping and crying. Whole night she was not able to sleep. She was thinking, who will save me now? She went to Bhima in the night. And she expressed her need. She told, you know, what pain I have gone through. If somebody else would have been there, would have committed suicide by now. First of all, I have been disturbed in the whole sabha, in front of everybody. And you people didn't do anything. Because of you only. Who would put his wife on the stake? Even Yudhishthira Maharaj would have put 1,000 and 2,000 gold coin, every stake. Whole life, he would have played and our wealth would not have got lost. So much wealth we had, you know. In every stake, if we would have put 2,000 gold coin, even, we would not have become bankrupt. But your brother did like this. And then afterwards, Jayadratha in the forest kidnapped her. That was so painful to me. And now we are seeing all of you. When I see Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, doing the chakri of this king. When I see you cooking whole day and calling the king, food is ready. It pains my heart. when I see Arjuna, you know, whose Gandiva, people would hear, just by hearing the sound of the Gandiva would get scared. Now he's training the girls in dance and everything. And I saw the Nakula and Sahadeva taking care of the cows and the horses. So much pain to my heart. And now this Kichaka, he actually kicked me in the whole sabha. And you just sitting and watching? Bhima said, actually I wanted to kill him there only. But our elder brother, you know, Yudhishthir, he told me not to do that because we will be exposed. And she told, if you don't do anything now, you will not see me alive tomorrow. So then Bhima immediately took the action. He said, okay, go, tell her that you are ready. And you meet me alone, seclusion in the night. And actually that's what happened. She told Kichak that, you know, because I don't want my five husbands to know this relationship. So we'll meet in seclusion somewhere in the night, in the sabha, in that sabhagraha where the dance takes place only in the day. And in the night nothing happens. And there Bhima was sitting in the night in the guise of Draupadi. And he punched him so much, he made kind of ball out of him, you know. Ball out of him. Because this is what, you know, the relationship is actually. That somebody is giving life for you, and naturally the another person also would like to give his or her life for you. This is the dynamics of the relationship. Like Devahuti and Kardama, Muni in Bhagavatam, I'll just close with this pastime, 5 minutes more. So Kardama Muni got married to Devahuti. Devahuti was the daughter of Swayambhu Manu. And she was raised in a very, like Draupadi. Draupadi also told Bhima that I never walked on the floor. I was always carried on the palanquin and the chariot. And now with all of you I'm walking in the forest, falling all the time on the ground. So similarly, Devahuti, she was so beautiful that even when the demigods and Gandharva would travel by plane and they would see her playing on the roof of the palace, they would faint and fall from the plane actually by seeing the beauty of the Devahuti. But when the Devahuti got married to Kardama and Kardama was the sage in the forest, so she had to live a very simple life. And she very happily accepted this kind of lifestyle, conceding her as a duty. Vishrambhena, with lot of intimacy, Gaurvena, with great respect, with Damena, with controlled senses, because without controlling senses you cannot serve, and with Suhirdena, with love, and Vacha Madhurena, with lot of sweet words, she served Kardama Muni. And her whole body got emaciated, serving and serving and serving, hair became matted, and her body covered with the dust and dirt. And then later on, Kardama Muni became so pleased. He told her that you have assisted me all my tapasya and everything, and I will show you the vision of the spiritual world. And he actually showed her the vision. But still, being a woman, she expressed her need. She told that this is fine, but I actually want to have, you know, fun with you, enjoyment with you. I am struck by excited emotion for you. Therefore, kindly make what arrangement must be made according to scriptures, so that my skinny body, emaciated through unsatisfied passion, may be rendered fit for you. And my Lord, please think of a suitable house for this purpose. So she expressed that please change this body and please arrange a house so that we can have a children actually. So Kardama Muni did that. He actually arranged a pond. Bindu Sarovar was there, and she entered inside, and there were 1,000 maid servants. She actually decorated her, cleaned her, and she came out like a completely, you know, fresh youth. And they made a palace. And the palace was actually the Viman, 7-story palace. It was going to all the gardens and everywhere, whole universe. So kind of relationship they had is actually the same, that respecting each other's position, serving each other, taking care of each other's needs. And then actually what happens, then we can overcome this obsession only for oneself, only thinking of about oneself, you know, that leads to a lot of problems actually. Sita Devi wanted to go with Lord Ram to forest, and Ram was trying to avoid that because there are a lot of problems in the forest. He was telling, you know, there will be thorns, there will be insects, there will be wild animals, there will be demons, there will be this problem, that problem, you are born and brought up in such a wonderful environment. So he was doing his duty by giving all the facilities and protection to his wife. And Sita, what she was doing? She was saying that I'll walk in front of you and I'll remove all the thorns before they prick your feet. And still Ram was not agreeing. Then Sita had to shoot the Brahmastra. Sita said that my father has married to a man. I thought my father has married me to a man. And you are scared to take me. Then Ram told, okay, you come with me, no problem. I'll take care of you. So that is the dynamics. And so anyway, I'll just complete with this understanding that what is happening, that we need to just understand what is our role, what is our situation. And understanding that role and situation, understanding our duties, if we can do that with lot of dedication, then what will happen? We'll develop all the virtuous qualities, and by developing those virtuous qualities, we can offer more and more things to God, you know, ultimately. Because unless we develop relation with the people whom we are living with, whom we are having relation day-to-day life, it will be very difficult to have relation with God. So, by taking care of our duties, which Krishna talks about in Bhagavad Gita, karmalneva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana, that you do your duties, but don't take the fruit for yourself. It means that don't expect only for yourself all the time. Think about another person also. And at the same time, if there is a need for you to express your need, you can do that also. Especially if another person is not able to understand your thing. And then, we can actually perfect our life. Because then eventually, we will be able to become more and more and more detached from this material world, material obsessions, and more obsessed for the Lord. Okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Purantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki. We'll have Kirtan now. Hare Krishna.